Okay, I want to know. Who prayed for a white Christmas?
I'm dreaming of a white.
Who did that? I actually had a couple people fess up to that already. They said they prayed for white Christmas. Had one person say it was their fault because they didn't pray against it. Nonetheless, we have a white Christmas Eve anyway, don't we? Good morning and Merry Christmas Eve morning. Wow, Christmas Eve morning. And then there'll be Christmas Eve afternoon for our service later on today. Invite everybody to be out here for that as well. It is a delight to be here today. I pray that you will be blessed for being with us. We are going to continue with our theme of Emmanuel, God with us forever. We've been focused on this throughout the month of December as we consider the Christmas season. I'm going to be doing something maybe a bit unusual today. I'm going to merge a couple of passages together. I don't want to do any injustice to the Word of God whatsoever, but we're going to blend Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25, and Luke 2, 1 and following. They're the texts that we generally go to find the Christmas story, the record of that. And though we've maybe read some sections of it before, I'm just, like I say, going to kind of blend them together. And you can follow along with me. In verse 18 of chapter 1 of Matthew, it says, "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, he decided to put her away quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" And I want you to notice that. He will save his people from their sins. Verse 22 says, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet Isaiah. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up from the dream, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. It was in those days that Caesar Augustus issued a decree for a census to be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone went to his own town to register, so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Joseph gave the child the name Jesus. Meanwhile, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." All people. I want you to notice that again. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and," once you notice again, "glory to God, and peace on earth for all upon whom his favor rests." Peace on earth for all upon whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what they'd been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So again, merging the two passages together. Now, an aside here. I am sure that you have gotten more than one of these recordings. You know, that kind of recording where you call a business and the voice on the other end of the line says, "For English, press 1. Para Espanol, oprima 2. Perhaps you find those kind of calls annoying. Hands up if you ever have. Confess that, you know, find those a little bit annoying. Think, well, why do I have to go through this? Why do I have to have this message like this? But I want you to think for a moment. What's the reason for that? What's the reason for that message being there that way? The business, see, is anticipating that their service reaches people of other languages. They're expecting that. They're believing that. They're believing that they're going to be communicating with and need to communicate with people of various backgrounds and cultures. Now, hold that thought a minute. If you haven't already, and I know some of you have gotten some early Christmas gifts, you've had some exchanges, maybe with some family or relatives or maybe some office party things, whatever going on, but you've had some exchanges already. So maybe you might have already received something like this, or perhaps you will. You're going to receive a device or an appliance that comes with an instruction manual. Now, maybe you won't get one, but somebody in your house will. They'll get that, and maybe, you know, you'll be one of these people who will just throw that aside and ignore it completely until you get yourself into some trouble. Or maybe you'll be a person who will do as I often do. You open it up and you start looking at it and reading it from cover to cover. It's likely going to have information printed in at least English and Spanish. Maybe also French and Chinese. Who knows how many other languages. I bought Nina a smart TV last year for her birthday. And the instruction manual on it, they must have thought that some of the people getting it weren't that smart. They were getting a smart TV, but maybe they weren't that smart. They were going to need a little help, you know what I mean? Because there was just loads of stuff to wade through, you know, in the manual. Things that you think, well, I know that, anybody would know that. But things were a little more complicated about setup and all the features that it had. The user manual had 3 different languages in it. Now, I only read from the English, but it had some other languages. And also, it had a website to go to just in case those languages weren't your language. Where you could go and you could download a PDF in your language, whatever that language might be. Now, why? Why go to all that trouble? Once again, they expected their product to be used and have appeal for people from many other nations and cultures than just one. So think again about the prophecy found within the reading we had a moment ago. From Isaiah 7:14, the angel referred to it, said, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel," which means, or is interpreted, "God with us." Think on that a moment. Now, that message was originally given to Hebrew people. They understood what Emmanuel meant. They didn't need anyone to explain it, interpret it, or make it clear to them. They knew it meant God with us. So why in the world did the Holy Spirit give the message that this is what it means? You know, if you've ever been to the South, you don't have to tell people down there what biscuits and gravy are. You don't have to say, well, you know what? Well, let me tell you what that is. Don't have to do that. Now, if you happen to be in the UK, though, and you say we're going to have biscuits and gravy, they got a problem with that. You're going to put gravy on cookies? Doesn't communicate, you know, because it's a different culture. It's as if God was saying, for Hebrew, press 1. For the rest of you, press 2. Or if there were a manual given, the Jews should read these instructions, for the others, go to the back of the book and find it translated into your language. See, this is subtle, but it's so very, very important in a Christmas story. God's gift wasn't just for a few people. God's gift was intended for the world. Intended for all nations. He knew it from the get-go that this was his plan. The Holy Spirit's intent was for all people to grasp the message. Though Jesus had come to save his people, we'll talk more about that in a minute, the good news was for all people. All people. In other words, anyone, no matter how far they felt they were away from God, anyone could come close because of Emmanuel. And God wants you to know what he wanted them to know. That's true still today. He wants you to know this morning that the message of Emmanuel is for you too. Not just a gift given to somebody, a gift given for you. For you. The package has your name on it. And clearly, in your language. Your nationality, your ethnicity, no consequence. Your history doesn't matter. Because God came to earth, your mistakes, yes, your mistakes, can be forgiven and forgotten in the blink of an eye. Your feelings of guilt and condemnation can be alleviated, erased once and for all. How do I know that? Because the angel declared peace on earth for all upon whom his favor rests. All. All. But yet in that, you might think, well, wait a minute. But does his favor rest on me? Because, yeah, there's peace here for someone. It says for all, but it seems still to be a subset, a group of people maybe that I'm not included in. It's for some people who upon whom his favor rests, some favored ones. And besides, you may be a person this morning feeling like, I don't feel very favored. And if you knew what's going on in my life, you'd know there's not much peace in it right now. You might be one who would sing along with an old Christmas hymn to say, in despair I hung my head. There's no peace on earth, I said. All I see around me is conflict and struggle and fighting and feuding. All I see around me is people yelling and shouting and hurting one another. I don't see peace. I don't experience peace. I don't know this peace. What? It's eluding me. What's going on here? Maybe again, I'm not a favored one. Maybe again, I'm not going to be a privileged one. Maybe this gift isn't for me. What is this elusive peace? And can I really have it? Can I really have this gift? Can I? Well, first and foremost, this is peace with God. First and foremost, that's what it is. It's peace with God. Though mankind had rebelled against him, deeply offended him, it was God who extended the olive branch in the gift of his son. It was God who made the step towards us. It was God who said, you know, no matter what you've done, no matter what boundaries or barriers you think there are between me and you, I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you. You won't come to me or you can't come to me, so I'll come to you. Oh, that's the message of Emmanuel. Romans 5, verses 1 and 2 make it pretty clear. The apostle there writes, since you've been justified through faith, you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace by which we now stand. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Wow. Through Emmanuel, we have peace with God. We can know that He is not holding grudges against us. He is not holding us at arm's length. He has His arms open and says, come. You say, well, no, not for me. Me? You don't know what I've done. God knows what you've done. And He still says, Emmanuel is a gift for you. For you. And knowing this, there's peace within. Peace within. A deep contentment that no one can take away from us. In John 14, 27, Jesus promised His followers this peace, which defies logic and human reason. Paul referred to it as peace that passes all understanding in Philippians 4, verse 7. Passes understanding. Transcends human reason. Doesn't make sense to others because they don't know the peace that you have with God. And the peace of knowing you have God with you. It's not about that everything is right with the world, because it's not. But we're right with God. We are right with God. And therefore we have peace. And then there's the peace with others. And that's so much of the problem. So much of the conflict and the issues and the struggle and the fighting and the feuding is because people don't have peace with God and peace with themselves. And therefore, they're in constant conflict, always struggling and striving to bring about some peace that they can't have until they have peace with God. See, the more God is with me, the less combative and competitive I am. And I pray that's true of you too. Why would that be? Because stuff loses its hold on us. Possessions don't possess us anymore. And so much of the fighting and feuding is over stuff, isn't it? A post this week I read on Facebook said, the older I get, the shorter my Christmas list becomes. And the post suggested it is because we realize that things that really matter can't be bought. I think there's a lot of truth in that. But I would say for us who have this peace with God through Christ, who have this peace within, we could also say as we mature in Christ, the shorter our list becomes because we know that what really matters has already been bought. Bought and paid for. And that reality applies to so much in life then. When we know that we have a home in heaven, we have a relationship with God, our sins are forgiven, that we have this hope that no one can take from us, we have this peace. Things like popularity and position and prestige that so many people fight for again, they don't matter so much. God loves me. That's what matters. I'm accepted in the heavenly realms as His child. That's what matters. Matter of fact, what could top that? So other than standing up for God or for those who are oppressed and have no one to be a voice for them or to defend them, there's just not really much worth fighting for. There just isn't. And when that's the case, we find ourselves at peace with others. Oh, they might not like us. They might resent us. They might hate us. Jesus said if we follow Him, that might be the case. They might have sleepless nights over their bitter feelings towards us, but we're at peace with God and with them. We're not going to be combative. We're not going to be competitive. We're not going to retaliate evil for evil. We're not going to do that. Why? We have peace with God. We have peace within. And there's nothing that they have or could take from us that can change that. Nothing. So that peace. We sang about that earlier, didn't we? Didn't we? Peace on earth. Let it be within me. Let it start with me. Let it begin with me. Let it be carried by me. Let that happen. But do you have that peace? And once again, do you think, well, I hear you, but I don't think that peace is for me. Well, to whom is this peace available? Remember, to all upon whom his favor rests. Well, who is that? Biblically speaking, it's those who believe in him and who will humbly accept the gift of Emmanuel, the gift of his Son as both Savior and Lord. You want to have the peace? Accept the gift. Because see, with the gift comes the peace. With the gift comes the peace. The peace with God, the peace within, the peace with others. And so many see are struggling and striving for peace, trying to force it, to make it happen, instead of receiving the gift. After Jesus lived this sinless life, offered himself as the perfect sacrifice for our sins on Calvary, people assembled on the day of Pentecost. And while they were there, and the Apostle Peter and the other apostles rose up and told them about Jesus and what he had come to bring to them. And they realized, were confronted with the fact that they had put him to death, that they'd killed him, that the very one who came to bring peace, they revolted against. They rejected. And when they were convicted in their hearts about that, they said, what do we got to do about this? How do we make this right? How can we be saved? And Peter replied, saying this, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you receive the gift, there's another gift, of the Holy Spirit that promises for you, for your children, and I have it highlighted, and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. How far off do you feel from God today? See, if you're thinking, I'm so far away from him, I'm so far removed from him, you know, I just don't know him, I don't think he could want to have anything to do with me. If you're feeling you're that far off, guess what? You're the very one Jesus came for. The very one. Then in Galatians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul writes to born-again believers, you are all God's children through faith in Christ Jesus. For all who are baptized in Christ have been clothed with Christ. There's no Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs of the promise. That should settle it. Remember earlier I said it said he came to save his people? Notice that last line, if you belong to him, if you accept the gift of Jesus, if you accept Emmanuel, you are his. You are his. He came for all. He came for you. If you accept Jesus, you are his. You belong to him. No matter what nationality, no matter what heritage, no matter what background, no matter what history, no matter what culture, accept the gift and you're his. And with him comes the peace. The peace. God came calling to be with us, so we can be with him forever. Not just for Christmas, but forever. He's called Emmanuel. His name's Jesus. He came calling. And he's calling still. He's calling still. It's easy these days, isn't it, with our smartphones. You know, do I want to accept that call or not? Oh, them calling again. Once in a while you get those numbers you don't recognize, right? You say, well, if it's important, it'll leave a message. Right? Listen to me. He's called, and he's called, and he's called, and he's called, and he's going to keep calling. And he has left a message, because it's important. It's vitally important. He loves you. And he's come to have a relationship with you that's eternal. Have you answered the call? Have you? If not, don't ignore it thinking it's the wrong number. It's for you. Don't think he's misdialed. No, it's for you. Hear the message. His message of love and salvation for you. And if this morning you don't quite get that, para español, prueba dos. Amen. Jesus is calling. He's calling. Answer the call. Answer the call. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you in Jesus' name for your faithfulness in calling us. In calling us through your Son Jesus into a relationship that is so beautiful and so wonderful. And Father, brings a peace that does pass understanding for so much of the world. God, there are a lot of folks looking for a lot of gifts this Christmas. I pray that their eyes have been at least opened to see that there's a gift that they've already received, or at least already been offered, already been given. They just need to take the gift, receive the gift of love and mercy and grace through Jesus. Father, thank you for the promise that you are with us, you will be with us, that your Son and your Spirit are with us now and forever. If there's anyone here, God, who doesn't know that reality, that truth, that peace, I pray that something that we've done this morning, we've sung, we've said, we've shared, has at least pricked their hearts, convicted them to look closer and to open their hearts to your message as you call them. In Jesus' name, amen.